Hi. So, in research, it is actually common, right, that a paper builds on previous work. So, this can be done with numbers from tables or getting model parameters or reference data set. Despite now all the open source initiatives and open access nowadays, reuse is still hard and requires, but it's required to have the results such that they can be made reproducible. So what often happens in practice is that we still have to extract values from tables or get the data from the figures, especially in the modeling fields, to then implement or re-implement analysis because they're not there or only half shared. So it's not because the other researchers don't want to do that, but it's because the original research is not shared in a reusable form. And even when the data and the code are shared, reproducing the results requires to reconstruct the environment that the original authors had at the time. So the problem we face isn't that we don't share. The problem is that we publish research as static artifacts. So thank you very much for the organizer, the great organization, and the opportunity to present. My name is Andreas. And I want to talk in the next few minutes about how we can turn research outputs into executable and reusable project using open source infrastructure and RRP as one concrete example. So to start, where we are today compared to 10, 20 years ago, where most of the information was contained in an article. It has changed a lot with open data becoming widespread, and thanks to repositories such as Zenodo or Figshare, the data is accessible, but also because of funder requirements and new policies. The same is true for code. Sharing code on platforms like GitLab is now common practice in many fields. And yet, when people actually try to run published analysis, results still don't reproduce. So this is not a story about no data or no code. It's about the fact that data and code is not accessible. And even if it's accessible, it's not enough to reproduce and reuse the research. So let's see why this still happens and where it breaks down. But first, maybe to bring everyone on the same page, there is repeatability. And this means that the original researcher can rerun the analysis and generate the same results repeatedly using some data and some code, often locally. Next, we have the reproducibility, which is often used synonymously with computational reproducibility when we are talking about some analysis workflows and pipelines. Here, for example, researcher A shares data and code with researcher B. And then in researcher B's environment, we try to reproduce the same results. Then there's the replication or reuse. So here we share some code with researcher B, and researcher B tries then to extend it with new data. So we say a result is generalizable if this is possible with new data. And this last step is actually what researchers actually want. But this takes a lot of time and effort to achieve. So still, today, researchers aim to publish fair. The concept is around since 10 years now, and the data should be findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. So what happened is that we have now the policy expectation that if we publish a manuscript with the data and ideally code to a data repository, science magically becomes reproducibly. It's true that such data is then findable and accessible, but not by default interoperable if, for example, proprietary file formats were used at the time, and reusable only in the sense that we have now access to it and someone can use it. But the researcher experience is still that methods description, for example, are scattered between the manuscript supporting information, and the DOI to a data repository just leads to one folder with a bunch of files, which is also true for code, but there at least we have a history how the stuff evolved. But then the questions immediately for a researcher arise, like, how do I rerun this? What environment is needed and to reproduce it? So we're missing the context and the executability. But research artifacts, they don't just exist, they evolve. Guided by a research question, they evolve in different cycles. So data follows one cycle, for example, from planning, acquisition, over processing, to at one point archiving. On the other side, we have code that follows a different life cycle from development, testing, publication, and also maintenance. But these two life cycles are managed by different tools, different systems, and often different people, such as collaborators or maintainers of third-party libraries. So what we are missing is a mechanism that binds a specific version of the data with a specific version of the code under a specific execution environment in the current research system. So now, even if both are open, they don't form this unit. This may now sound like a publication problem, but it's not, because it fails much earlier, inside the lab. Many of you may have seen such messy folder like this semester project, where data, code, lab notes, and different versions of a report are just dumped into one folder with no clear apparent structure. But this is not necessarily a bad practice. This happens if the tools don't capture the context. Similarly, in larger research projects, for example, this lab, it tries to study how protein X regulates the cell cycle. So now the whole team works with, on the same project with exactly the same data, same tools. But here we have, for example, a student working on a Mac laptop, a recent Python version, and creates some results. But then it starts to differ, not because the student made a mistake, but because assumptions about the environment are implicit. So if the student leaves at one point, and let's say a postdoc tries to reproduce the study, but now runs on a Linux system with a slightly older Python version, suddenly the results slightly different. Then, say, a PI tries to help on a Windows system with an even older version and just gets the error. So the question is then, is it now the Python version that causes here the problem, or were pre-processing steps run manually that no one captured? To sort this out on a long term, it's very difficult, time-consuming, and completely inefficient. And these differences, they all happen and slowly accumulate long before the paper is written. And even if you have then the paper, it doesn't fix the problem, it just freezes the problem into a snapshot of the PDF. So we've seen why sharing data, code alone does not automatically give reproducibility, but I also want to stress the point that reproducibility should never be the end goal. It's the minimum requirement, and questions like, can I rerun this, and does do the result match the paper, they should be answered always with a clear yes upon publication. However, a recent study that looked at around 200 random selected papers from the journal Science found that they could only get the data of 44% of it, and then only reproduce the result of roughly one quarter. So this is really sad, it's as it is today, and is extremely far from what researcher and the open research community wants, to reuse the work and ask new questions. So when data and code of the study are reproducible and give the same result, we can then finally work on extension, for example, develop new analysis methods, use such data for benchmarking, for example, of new algorithms, and extend work, bringing in new data, reuse their analysis workflows, and address new questions from a different angle. So with open source code, the environment is assumed to be obvious, but it's not. It's really the key missing dependency. From this execution stack, we see that code runs on some infrastructure, server, laptop, that then runs some operating system that comes with some libraries, And then on top, you have your packages or code that you write for your research to process some data. Traditionally, this stack is implicit. It lives in people's laptop and disappears after publication. And is rarely versioned and almost never published. What are the other options? So bare metal is not portable, but systems can be virtualized. However, this is also heavy. So then there are containers, and they made the environment portable and executable and have been used in research projects, but are very complex to set up. And finally, Binder used this idea to make repositories executable, but sadly it's stateless. But long-lived research involves a data set and access control and needs to preserve this over a long period of time. So we've seen how Binder can help now to make an environment to take it into account, but we haven't talked about how data is managed. So it lives within a folder, even if it has a DOI, but they don't have identity and don't encode how they were produced. On the other side, we have a research data management system where data sets are treated as first-class objects, and it has persistent identifiers, metadata, explicit provenance, and this turns a collection of data into reusable research objects. So in our work, we use the open source RDMS tool called OpenBIS. It's used in many institutions and scales to terabytes of data and is specifically designed for academic and lab environments. So here we see a laboratory information system where you have some methods and protocols, and then you have a tool section with clear APIs, how to get the data in and how to get it out, publish it to open research repositories. Then here we have the lab notebook section. We see raw data, an example of microscopy data, where we can describe all the details and, more importantly, link to the parents, so like which materials, chemicals and so on have been used, what was the goal, and then link it to analysis. This relationship can be searched, so you see which chemical led to which modification of the biological strain, and then this strain is imaged under a microscope and leads to the data, and then eventually which analysis produces a result. But this system has no execution context. So that's where RRP comes in, and it bridges this data and code lifecycle that we saw earlier to generate an open, shareable unit of research around the question. So we need to have the data by reference, the code in version control, and we need the compute context. The data in our system lives in an RDMS like OpenBIS, and the environment and the code is under version control. So RRP then takes this and builds a project where one then can do the whole management, you can collaborate on it, and you can share this whole environment. So quickly on the system architecture, a user just interfaces through a web browser with it, and the environment is built on a Kubernetes system by taking the repository, building a Docker image, mounting the data directly into it, and then have means to publish it on different repositories. So in practice, how this looks, right, we assume the data to be either registered or generated by the lab automatically in the RDMS system. You just specify which is your database and what data sets to use. Then you specify your environment, so which dependency, which packages. You can already specify what kind of analysis you want to do, but this you can also do later. And then you have